Starting a new chabura on Perush Mafila, and I wanted to open with a personal feeling about davening. There's three pillars of the world standard. There's learning Torah, and there's davening, and there's doing chesed. And learning Torah, people take very seriously and invest a lot in. And there are many shirim given on how to be successful in learning, and Talmud Torah is something Baruch Hashem has conquered the world. And chesed also, the gemachim, is something which has conquered the world and people take it very seriously. And when it comes to davening, it doesn't have that same level of devotion because it's so personal and it's so individual. With Talmud Torah, you can learn Torah in an external way. You can learn and understand, and it doesn't have to affect your core essence of who you are. With chesed, even more so, you can do acts of chesed and it's external. It doesn't have to affect the essence of who you are. It will affect you, become a more chesed individual, but it's not necessarily going to change your mahut. Tefillah, you can't fake it. I mean, you can fake it, but you can sense that it's not for real. And davening is something which either you're actively working on and you have a sense of your inner world, or it's something which you just have to become numb to and you have to switch off. And there isn't really enough hadrasa. There isn't direction and guidance on how to work on davening. Because with the learning, you can check with someone. Did you get it? Say it back to me. You can check in with someone if they're learning it. With chesed, you can check in with someone. It's something objective. You did it, you didn't do it. With davening, it's a person's inner world. And if it's someone's inner world, you can't necessarily check in with them. It's your own inner experience. And you can ask for guidance, but the guidance is only going to be external guidance. It's not going to be your own internal guidance. So I was hesitant initially, if we're going to learn together this chabura about davening, I was hesitant to say, I've got a great way of preparing for this chabura. I'm going to read through 16 books that all speak about Perush HaTfilah. Rav Avigdor Miller has a very nice book. Rav Mook has a very nice book. Rav Lapiansky, Tfilah LaMoshe, has a wonderful book. Rav Pinkus has a fantastic book. And if I wasn't biased, I would say the best one of all is one that just came out a couple of months ago called Siach Tzvi. But I'm biased towards that one, so I won't say it. But we can speak afterwards if you're interested. There are Baruch Hashem many, many amazing Svarim on Perush HaTfilah. But the concern that I have is if we do that, is what's going to happen is it's going to become external again. It will be Talmud Torah on the topic of Tfilah. But it won't necessarily help your davening. And it won't help my davening. We'll have more knowledge on the topic of davening, of what those words mean and how to translate those words. I was scared of it. So I said, well, I could take another approach, which would take us even further away, but this is just another way of doing things, is we could learn the halachot of davening. We go to the Rambam, go to the Mishnah Berurah, we could learn the halachot of davening, and that also would give us more insight, and that would be helpful. Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes that when you take a topic seriously in halacha, then it becomes more important to you. To the very fact that you've learned all the details of it and the halachas of it, now it's a topic which is a sugya, which is important to you, it's alive for you, you're investing in it. And maybe we could hope that in a segula way, that by the very fact that we're investing in the topic and taking it seriously, taking tefillah seriously by learning halachas, then also our davening would improve. But despite the fact that I'm a very optimistic individual by nature, even the times where I've learned hilchos tefillah from the beginning until the end, and Mishnah Berurah and other svarim, it didn't necessarily give me a sense that I was more connected to Hashem. And if we're having a vad, if we're having a chabura on tefillah, then I think that just speaking about the perush hamilim, the translations of the word, even if we find beautiful perushim, and just talking about the halachas of davening, is going to leave us external. It's going to leave us on knowing about davening, knowing about it and being able to speak about it, and maybe even you could give a shir about it. Maybe I could give a shir about it and talk about it in this external manner. But we'd miss the essence of what it is, which is the standing before Hashem. There's an interesting Sira in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes, you have to have kavana for all of davening, and if you don't have kavana for all of davening, it's considered that you didn't daven. And then he writes, you have to have kavana at least in one place, one bracha, and he says avos, and that's ma'akeh. And it's a direct contradiction within the Rambam, what he's writing. And there's a very well-quoted and famous section in the Rav Chaim on the Rambam, Chaim Soloveitchik on the Rambam, where he writes that there's obviously two different aspects of davening, which the Rambam is referring to in each one. When the Rambam says that all of davening is ma'akev, when you have to have kavanah the whole way through, that's talking about the recognition that you're standing before Hashem. Amidah lifnei Hashem. And when the Rambam writes, you have to have kavanah through at least one place, the first bracha, that's talking about knowing what the words mean and having intention on the words. And that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch as well. I mean, not the chiluk of how much kavanah where, but the idea that there's two kavanahs in davening is in the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Vav, that you have to have kavanah when you're standing before Hashem, that you're standing before Hashem and know what you're saying. So when I was thinking about how to learn together this topic of the siddur, we have to do both. We have to come to the deeper recognition of what does that mean to stand before Hashem? What does that concept mean? How do you do that? How do you enter the mindset of doing that? That you're aware that you're standing before Hashem? Because that's the key. If we can bring ourselves to an awareness, a mindset that when I come to daven, I'm standing before Hashem, then it won't be external. It'll be, I'm coming before Hashem. But together with that, we need something tangible in the world for it to rest on. We need to know what the words mean as well. So I did go through many books, but I did a high level of filtering. Now what was my filter? When you read through many different books, then people can filter in different ways. Some people like Lom de Shavuot. Some people like Diuk, like what's Diuk in the words, and it's very accurate. What I was looking for was the type of perush, the type of interpretation that most fits in with the concept that I'm aware that I'm with Hashem. So not a deal which resolves something, and not a nice way of explaining something, but rather the type of kavanah that when you're davening, you could be thinking that. Now, I'll tell you a story. I had a friend, Sammy Morning, if you don't know, lives in Beit Shemesh, used to live in Manchester. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I was, I think I had two kids at the time, and he was in Shalabed. And we had a chavrusa. And I said, let's learn on Erev Rosh Hashanah as well. My wife's been praying for Yontif. I'm watching the kids. I'm just sitting outside in the park while she's keeping them out of the way. Maybe we can like learn. It has to be something light because I'm with the kids, but we can learn. So we started learning Perush HaTfil of Yom Narayim Davin. So I read a certain piece, and there were two interpretations. And I said it over to him. And then he said to me a question, which I've never forgotten, and it's caused me to think more deeply about my davening ever since he said that. I didn't see him for years and years after he left yeshiva, and then I went to Manchester about 5 years ago, and I went to have a meal at his house, and I reminded him of that, and he said to me that this, what I'm about to tell you, said, that's his guiding principle to me. His guiding life principle. That question that he asked me represented his whole worldview. I said, well, it changed my worldview as well. It's just a simple question, but it's the one that we forget to ask. He said to me, Tzvi, I wasn't a rabbi at that point, Tzvi, I much prefer being Tzvi. It's such a nice time. Tzvi, tomorrow's going to be Rosh Hashanah. When you're going to stand before Hashem, which of those two perushim are you going to think about? And he caught me totally unprepared. I was so happy that like I was able to get over two different interpretations of what this piece means without thinking that the whole purpose of my learning is I'm going to be standing before Hashem. What am I thinking? I'd never done that work of bringing it back to myself and being authentic and saying, which one resounds with me? Which one makes sense to me? When I'm going to stand before Hashem, I can't stand there and say, dear God, there are two interpretations. According to the Rosh, it means this, and according to the Rosh, it means this. You choose which one you like. Which, I'm speaking to Hashem. I have to be seen from a place which is authentic to me. That I'm standing here before Hashem talking to him in an authentic manner. Now, I'll find my own perish. That's also fun. As long as it fits well into the world. But if I'm going to use one of the perushim of the meforshim, that's great. That's authentic too. So long as it's authentic to me, I can only read something and connect to it if it resounds with me. That I'm going to stand before Hashem and Davin and say these words. So what's really going to happen in our chabura here is that we're going to learn a whole world behind Davin. A world of emun. A world of when Chazal were writing the parish of Tzvila, and of course I'm only saying the parish that I connect with the most. I hope it's the one you can connect to also. Otherwise, do the work yourself. Read through all the different meforshim and see which one resounds with you. I'm giving you a selection of the ones that to me makes sense, that you can stand before Hashem and you can have that in mind when you're davening. You can say it in an authentic manner. There were many, many perushim that I saw which, whilst being brilliant, they're not the ones that you can naturally say and talk to Hashem. They don't flow as well. They're not the one that you would say, oh, this is referring to that, and this is referring to that. The beautiful perushim of the Maharsha, which also the Abu Dram brings, which I'm not going to quote at length today, but where he connects five things in a particular piece of the davening, the five things in the Gemara, and it's amazing how each one fits in. But to be realistic, you're not going to think about that during davening. You're not going to think, this is connected this, and this is connected this, and this connected this. It's not a flow. It's not going to be authentic for you to think that. It's beautiful when you're learning about davening to do that. But you have to be authentic. You have to daven in a way which is going to help you connect, and daven in a natural way. So I chose the perushim. I chose the commentaries which, to me, make sense that they can work as a theme. And today we're going to focus on the three brachas that we start from our service. That we start davening with. Allah Tilat Yadayim, Asher Yaltza, and Elokai Neshama. That's what I'm going to do today. Most likely in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to pause on that and go over to Yom Narayim davening. In order that we can have a healthy mindset, a focused mindset towards Yom Narayim davening. And then after Elul, then we'll go back and carry on from the city where we left off. I just want to point out something very interesting about the Alei Shora, which is that these words in this siddur were written by the Anshei Chesed HaGadolim. Now there are other things that we also learn about Anshei Chesed HaGadolim. But just to contemplate that these were written 700 years before the Mishnah and 1,000 years before the Gemara. So when we're coming to learn the words of Chazal, I'm coming to medayik in the words of Chazal, and medayik in the Gemara, and also even more medayik in the Mishnah. When you think, when you're learning the siddur, you're learning the words of the Anshei Chesed HaGadolim. They're full of meaning, pregnant with depth. And if you're coming to learn emunah, then this is the primary source to learn emunah from. Because they represent an entire world which exists behind, an entire mindset that exists behind. That if you don't have the understanding of what it means, then it's going to be very difficult to enter the world of davening and talk to Hashem in an authentic manner, because you don't have that backing. You don't know really what you're talking about. I have a very sad story to share with you. I must have been 8 or 9 years old. And my father and I came to Eretz Yisrael. We were here for Shabbos, and we spent Shabbos with a family who lived in the Moshav Gimzu. I don't remember their name. And they didn't speak English, and we didn't speak Hebrew. It's not sure exactly what we were doing there, but my father had met in some educational conference, this individual. This guy was like a professor, my father was a teacher, so they'd met in some conference, and he said, if you're ever in Israel, come for Shabbos. So my father took him up on the offer, and we went for Shabbos. So we spent the whole Shabbos trying to figure out what each one was saying. It was very difficult. And then, at some point, the mother turns to me, and she says to me, but if you don't speak Hebrew, then how do you daven? So I said to her, honestly, I said, I say the words, and I don't know what I'm saying. And she looks at me with pity. I was 8 years old. I don't remember much from when I was 8 years old, but I remember that look of pity where she looked at me and said, you're talking to Hashem and you don't know what you're saying. I can only imagine that she was thinking, what chance do you have to build an authentic relationship with Hashem if you're saying words you don't know what you're saying? And I remember like feeling that pity deep in my heart and saying, yes, I'm pathetic. I don't know what I'm doing. But this is what everyone in my shul does. It's universal where I come from. But as I grew, I realized that even many people who speak Hebrew, they also are speaking and don't know what they're saying, not because they can't translate the words. Even if they could translate the words, they don't necessarily understand what the depth behind the words is coming to portray. Like, what was Chazal intending that you would be connecting to be humble for a moment? In the Nefesh HaChaim, he writes that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol wrote the Siddur with a depth of meaning that it's impossible for anyone to ever understand what they intended with the full meaning of what they meant. And he gives an example. If you read the Arizal commentary on the Siddur, it's way, way, way beyond anything any of us would ever imagine. But in their great wisdom, Chazal wrote the Siddur in a way that anyone and everyone can connect to on their level. And that's the expectation. We're not expected to understand it on a higher level than the authentic level to us. And I'm so ready to dive into the Siddur, but I still want to say one more mashal before I jump in. There was someone who came for an audition to be an actor in a play. And before the audition, they were practicing with their friend in a side room. And they had all their lines and all their scripts, and they were saying it over, all their lines they were saying over. And they were making mistakes. But it was okay they were making mistakes because it wasn't the real thing. It was just a practice before the audition. So whilst they were trying to get their lines perfect, they were well aware that this wasn't a real conversation. The person wasn't really listening to them, really. It was just a practice. So they didn't care that they didn't really know what they were saying or understand what they meant. And it didn't really matter that they didn't put in all the emotion because it's only a script and it's not real. So they're aware that it's fake. But nevertheless, they tried to do the best job they could. Then they came for the actual audition. And in the audition, they put on their best show. They're aware that it's going to make a difference. They're either going to get the job or they're not going to get the job. They practice their lines perfectly. They know them off by heart. And they put on the best show they can as a great actor to show that they have a sense of emotional connection to what the words are. And they do a great show. And the people who are watching are voting and giving them a score. And then they go home and they speak to their wife. And now they're a little vulnerable. I say, I don't know how it went. Like, I did the best I could. But like, I don't know, they were really strict with me. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to get through. I'm a little nervous, it's not going to work out. And she asks him, how did you feel? And he contemplates for a minute, and he's thinking, and he gives real words that come from the depth of his heart to portray what he's feeling. Those are three levels of davening. There are some people who, when they come to daven, they're not aware they're standing before Hashem in their consciousness. It's not really part of their recognition at all. Just they're Jewish. It wasn't their fault they were born Jewish. There are taxes to pay. You have to pay taxes even if you don't want to. And part of the tax you have to pay by being Jewish is that three times a day you have to read the third act of Hamlet again and again and again and again and again. Whether you understand the Shakespeare or you don't understand the Shakespeare, that's the penalty that you have to pay for being Jewish. So you just read the same act again and again and again and again. That's the tax you have to pay. That's like the first one. The person who isn't trying to do anything with his prayer, he realizes it's just dumb. He kind of does the best he has to because someone's watching him and he's kind of practicing. But he doesn't believe that it's making a difference. And he's not trying to do a performance in the best. Then there's a second level. And on the second level, he's aware that it makes a difference. And he's aware that he needs to do it. So he's careful about Hilchos Tefillah. And he tries to have kavanah about what the words mean. But between me and you, it's all a show. It's all a show. Not that it's a show for other people. I'm not talking about someone on a lower level who's, I hope people watch me how much kavanah I have and how much I'm showing. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about someone who's trying to be authentic. And he's trying to do the halacha properly and trying to remember what the words mean. And trying to know what the words mean. And he's trying to translate the words. And he's trying to show that he has emotion. But if you ask him, who are you talking to? He's never thought about that question. He doesn't have the awareness that he's standing before Hashem. He's doing the best job. He's aware that there's a show that he has to put on. And he's doing the show that he's a good boy. He's a good boy. He's a faithful son to his father. He's a faithful Talmud to his yeshiva. And he's a faithful member of his nation. He's doing a proper job that he can. He learned the halachas of tefillah. He's learned the perush of tefillah. And he's putting on the best show that he can to do well in the audition that he has. But he doesn't have any inner world. He's not asking, what do I feel about it? Do I enjoy it? Do I care? He's never asked himself those questions. He's never brought himself into governing. The second level is a good level. Halavai, most people will reach. Unfortunately, most people are on the first level. Most people are on the level they've never even thought about what they're doing in governing. They pay the tax. It's a good level to be on the second level. It means you're keeping Hilchos Tefillah. It means you know what the words mean. It's a good level. But you're missing the essence. It's not alive. It's dead. It's not alive. It's just, you're not there. There's a good show being put on. Someone else could also come and do the audition right after you and say the same words to the same audience. Anyone else could do probably a better job than you. They don't need you. Someone else can do it. It's an external. And you go home and you meet your wife and she asks you how it was and you start thinking, what actually happened today? What do I feel about it all? And you speak to her from a genuine, authentic place. Even if you thought to yourself, what word am I going to use to my wife, and you scripted it a little bit, but you're talking from a real place, and you find what's the word that's really going to portray my emotion. You're talking from a real place. You feel vulnerable. You ask yourself, do I care about Hashem? Do I want to talk to him? Do I care? Do I know how he was relating to me? Am I excited about the relationship? Am I frustrated that I'm trying to have a relationship, but I don't feel that I'm ever getting there, and I'm trying to push through? What's my authentic emotional place that I'm standing in when I come to relate to Hashem? Am I really angry about how my chavrutah just went, and I'm just like really annoyed about how it's not going my way, and that's the place that I'm coming into Hashem with a bit of a taina against him, and that's what I want to talk to Hashem about today. I'm feeling an overwhelming sense of gratitude towards Hashem for all the good that Hashem has brought me to this place. And that's the place that I'm going to talk to Hashem. Or am I a bit indifferent today? And I'm asking Hashem, can you give me like a pick-me-up? Can you get me into it? Can you help me out? What's the emotional place that I'm coming in to talk to Hashem? And that's the first value. The first kavana. Anida lifnei Hashem. What's my emotional entry point when I'm coming now to daven to Hashem? Where am I? Where am I holding? That's point number one. Anida lifnei Hashem. That's the first kavana. And that's market for all of daven. That's big. The whole of davening, you have to have the awareness. I'm talking to Hashem. In the middle of the audition, in the middle of a practice, you wouldn't mind answering your phone. We're just practicing, right? Is it okay? Just hold on 1 second. You wouldn't mind because you're not really talking to someone at all. You're not really talking to anyone at all. They're just helping you practice. You could answer your phone because there's no one there at all. In the middle of the audition, you wouldn't answer your phone because you're a good boy. But between me and you, if it wasn't for the fact they were watching, and if it wasn't for the fact that you would get in trouble for it, you wouldn't feel guilty about answering your phone. If you were in the middle of Shona Esrei, and it wasn't that there was a halacha that you're not allowed to talk to someone else, you wouldn't feel like, I can't answer my phone, I just can't do it. You wouldn't feel that feeling. You'd be like, I want to answer my phone, but I forgot to turn the buzz off, and I'm in the middle of Shema, so I'll turn it off, and I'll carry on davening. But I wonder who it is. Like, I really want to answer. The middle level is one where it wouldn't bother you to talk to someone else, just, you know, the halacha is not, and you're a good boy, so you would. Level number three is when you're in the middle of pouring your heart out to your wife, and you're sharing where you authentically are. You don't want to answer your phone. You're in the middle of having a conversation. You're in the middle of talking. That's enough gemina between the three levels. And with that, let's go into Perush Hamil. We've got kavana number one. Now we're ready for kavana number two. Now what's interesting about the first three brachas is that although they're in the Siddur, they're not actually connected to davening in the Shul. And the Gemara in Brachos in that summer speaks about the idea that you can say them at home. You actually probably should say them at home. And some people do say these Brachos in their room or at home before they come to Shul. And some people have the minhag to wait until they get to Shul. Just from a halachic perspective, in theory, you should say the Brachos Al Tehillat HaDayim straight away when you wash your hands. But most people need the bathroom. So you should wash your hands first and then go to the bathroom. But now you've been to the bathroom, you can't say the bracha because you need to wash your hands again. So you wash your hands, you go to the bathroom three times, once on each side, according to the graph, four times. Then you go to the bathroom, and then after the bathroom you wash your hands again. And then after that second washing the hands, then you say the three brachas of Al Tehillat HaDayim, Asher Yatzar, and Elokai Nishim. Now on the bracha of Al Tehillat HaDayim, it's an interesting word, netila. The word netila is not a Hebrew word. It's an Aramaic word. And in the Mephoshim, I saw two interpretations which I want to give and then connect them together in a beautiful way to have a depth of kavanah on the bracha of Al Tehillat HaDayim. The Avudram brings both perushim. One perush is that the word natla in the Gemara on Shabbos at Samach Beis is a utensil, a bowl. Even today we call it a natla, the key that you wash your hands with. So they made the bracha Al Tehillat HaDayim to remind you of the halachic point to use the natla, that you need to use the kli. There's another higher, deeper interpretation which the Avudram brings, which is that the commentary of the Targum on the word with Tisaeni Ruach is Unatalani Ruach. That was the word with Tisaeni, to rise up. In Aramaic is Netila, to rise up. So they use the bracha of Al Tehillat HaDayim because it's raising up your hands, which also has a halachic connotation. There's a halachic concept which after your hands, you should rise up so that the water, the tummy doesn't come back and the tummy on it. I saw a beautiful interpretation in the Mephoshim, which I've connected to deeply. And it's also written in the Rishonim as well, that Avudram brings it later on. And also the Torah brings it. Why is it that there's that obligation to wash your hands with the kli when you wash your hands in the morning? What is the idea of rising up? What's the deeper understanding that connects both of us? When a person goes to sleep at night, and what I'm saying now is going to connect to all three brachos, it's going to be the underlying theme of all three. Their neshama parts from their body, and the neshama returns to Hashem. Now, the Gemara says that before the neshama came into the world, the neshama was together with Hashem, and the neshama didn't necessarily want to come down into the world. But the neshama was given a shavuot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am tahor, and you are chiseled out from under the kisei HaKavod, which is tahor. Promise me, take an oath, take a shavua, that you're going to remain tahor in the world. And the neshama sent down into the world. Now the neshama comes down into the world. You can imagine the neshama is not so happy about it, but recognizes that it has a unique mission to come down into this world. The neshama, kiv yachol, in a way, made a deal with Hashem and says, okay, but I can't handle more than a day. I need to come back. I can't handle it too much. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiv yachol, said, okay, you can come back every night. And every evening you go to sleep, the neshama returns to Hashem. The same way as your phone, the battery runs out by the end of the day and you recharge it, the neshama in this world can't handle being distant too long and needs recharging. So the neshama goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every evening. The neshama is being recharged. Chazal tell us that when the neshama is in the body, then there's tahara. But when a person dies, the body becomes tameh. The soul being in the body prevents the body from being tameh. But when the soul leaves the body becomes tameh. So what does tumah mean? Tumah means that it's potential for ruchniyah, and the neshama could be in the body, but it's hollow, it's not there. Which is also a reason why a person becomes tameh when they have a seminal mission, because there was potential for bringing life into the world, but now it's gone out. And it's also the reason why a woman becomes tameh when she has a pregnancy, when she gives birth, because she had another neshama inside of her, but the neshama is now left. So when there's potential for kedusha, potential for an extra holiness, then And that's why an animal is a lower level of tumah than a human, because the neshama is a level of a higher level. So when the person goes to sleep at night, then Derech Hashem writes, Chazal tell us, that not all of the neshama leaves, but most of the neshama leaves, and there's a 60th of death that takes place, where the body has to some degree died. The body is here in this world dead, and the neshama has returned to Hashem to have a reconnection, to recharge, to come back into this world. Now the neshama is coming down into this body, and it's starting its mission for the day, a new mission for the day. The neshama is a little bit scared. What's going to happen today? It's going to be involved in mundane activities. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it swear that it's going to remain pure. So neshama is nervous and comes to bracha when Tiras Yadayim. A Kohen, when he starts the avodah in the morning, the first thing that he does, a preparation for that avodah, is he washes his hands in the ki'or. The ki'or represents preparing yourself. It's a physical act which represents a spiritual mindset. By washing your hands, you're saying, I'm preparing myself spiritually for entering avodah Hashem. And why specifically the hands? Because the hands represent our activity in the world. Even when a woman dedicates all of her productivity to her husband, what do we call that in Chazal? Maaseh Yadeha. The handiwork of man. Hands represent man's productivity, his involvement in the world. So when the neshama goes up to Shemayim, the body becomes tameh, because it doesn't have a mission right now. It doesn't have that ruchness to give it guidance on what Hashem wants from it. And when the neshama comes back, then the neshama protects the body from being tameh, everywhere except for the hand, because the hand is your free will, how you're now going to behave throughout the day. And therefore their hands remain tameh because it's up to you. You become like a Kohen entering the Beit Midrash. It's your choice now. Are you going to accept Hashem's mission? Are you going to act with Kedusha and bring the Neshama's mission into the world? Or are you going to take those hands and do inappropriate things with it? Which is interesting, that while hands are a part of the body which have a natural place, it can also be lowered down to the lower part of the body, or could be during davening at the heart, which is our essence, or a Birkas Kohanim behind, in order to represent, I'm raising my hand to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, going back to what the translation of the word Netila means, Netila has two interpretations. We said one is the name of the Kli, the Natla, and one is the translation of the word to raise up. The bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim in the morning isn't just the bracha of cleanliness and washing your hands, but rather it's an acceptance of the mission that you have. The neshama has come back into the world. You're about to be productive in the world. This is the first act of productivity. If you're saying, my hands are my way of expressing all I'm going to do in the day that you have given me, Hashem. And the neshama is my guidance on what to do. Am I going to accept it? And with that, like a Kohen, you wash your hands. And you say, Hashem, I accept the mission that I'm going to use my activity in a productive manner, in a holy manner, like a Kohen coming to serve Hashem. And now the two become one. The word Netilat Yadayim is a washing of hands, but it's a washing of hands representing an acceptance of the mission to be an Evet Hashem, to be like a Kohen, standing in the face of me, serving Hashem. I saw in one of the commentaries, Ion Tfila, he says that, explained Abu Dram's two reasons that they're really one, that it's not that the word, the Kali was called a Natla independently, and the rabbi said, oh, we want you to wash hands, so let's call it a Natla. It went the other way around. The rabbis wanted you to wash hands with the mindset of serving Hashem, of raising your hands up. And therefore they called the utensil a Natla, to remind you to have that sense, that rising up in mind. That's a Netilat Yadayim. So that means that you start the bracha as you wake up in the morning with the recognition, I'm dedicating all of my actions to Hashem, I'm washing my hands down, I'm making the bracha, Hashem, you've made me holy. It's not just removing tumah. We say the bracha, Asher ki vishanu b'mitzvotav, you've made me holy, Hashem. Like a Kohen who becomes holy as he accepts upon himself that service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the act of washing hands is not only removing tumah, but it's dedicating oneself to a holy day, to a holy action throughout the day. Asher Yatsan. The bracha of Asher Yatsan we say the phrase, Nekavim Nekavim Chalulim Chalulim. And Chazal teach us that our body is a microcosm through which we can learn about our Kadosh Baruch. We're supposed to be looking at the way our body works and take a lesson from our body to how to relate to Hashem. The deeper sources teach us that parallel to every one of our limbs and our organs, we have a spiritual body in Shamayim. And as we're using our organs and our limbs in this world to serve Hashem, we're building our neshama's body. We're building our higher sense that which we will continue to live on with in the next world. And that's why we say, Nekavim, Nekavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. Because as we recognize and appreciate our body in this world and dedicate ourselves to serving Hashem in this world, then we're actually empowering or giving a life to our higher body, our body which we're building in Shemayim. So we start off by saying, Asher Yatzar et Adam v'chokhmah. And the Mefarshim say, that doesn't mean that Hashem used wisdom when He created us. Because Hashem obviously used wisdom with everything that He created. But here we're speaking about the body, and we're saying that Hashem created us with wisdom. It means that Hashem gave us the wisdom to contemplate our body. Asher Yatzar et Adam v'chokhmah, He formed man with the wisdom to be able to contemplate Hashem through looking at our bodies, the nekavim and the nekavim and the chalulim chalulim. What's galui v'yadua? Galui is something which is already well known to you. You can already experience it. That's referring to the body. You can experience your body right now. What you see works well. Yadua is something which you know about but you're not yet experiencing. I know it. I haven't experienced it, but I know it. And therefore, yadua is lifnei kisei kvadecha. When you contemplate the health that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you and how your body is functioning, and you have a sense of gratitude to Hashem for your body, then galui, that you're already aware of. And if you've ever not been well, and you've ever experienced how it's not working, and I just want to be well. You turn to Hashem, you have the galui, what you want to be well, but yadua lifnei kisei kvadecha. That's giving you an entry into the kisei kvadecha. It's giving you the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a beautiful, beautiful piece the Gra writes, the Gra in his commentary on brachos and the Tanakh where this bracha is brought down, the Gra writes that the Avodah Zorah mindset is that Hashem doesn't have a place in the lowly matters of the world. Hashem is in the holy things. Hashem is in the Torah. Hashem is in the Beit HaMikdash. Excuse my expression, Hashem is not in the bathroom. There's no room for Hashem there. But the proof that Hashem is in the bathroom is that you don't make a new bracha of Birkas HaTorah after going to the bathroom. Why not? You had a Hesech HaDas, you weren't allowed to learn Torah there. No, but the very fact that you were still connected to Torah. What were you thinking of Torah in the bathroom? You were thinking that you're not allowed to learn Torah while in the bathroom. That was what Halacha did. You still remain connected to the fact that you wish to carry on learning Torah afterwards. In other words, you're still aware and there are Halachas. Shimon Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch of how to behave in the bathroom. There's nowhere too low for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come. And we spoke about the neshama coming into the world. That's the mission of the neshama. To be involved in the physical world, even in the very mundane and lowly. And recognize even that, even what you would think is so far from Hashem, is lifnei kisei kvadecha. She'im yipatech echad mehem, or yipatem echad mehem, is referring to different parts of the body. Yipatech is referring to the closed organs, like the heart or the lungs, that they would burst open and rupture. Or yisatem echad mehem is referring to our ability to breathe, our ability to go to the bathroom. Eif shar lihitkayem v'lamod lefanecha. Why did he add the word la'amod lefanecha? There are two phrases here. Litkayem means to physically exist. U'la'amod lefanecha is amida lifnei Hashem. I wouldn't be able to serve you, Hashem. I wouldn't be able to be focused. Which we know that's true because when our body is not feeling well, we can't think of avodat Hashem. You've got a headache and your body isn't up to it. If you're very tired, your body is not functioning well, you can't focus on Avodat Hashem. Your body is enough. So we thank Hashem for the physical health so that we're able to la'amod lifnei Hashem. Baruch Hashem, rofei kol basar. That's interesting, the word rofei. The Gemara says, initially the bracha was supposed to be Rofei Cholim. But then Shmuel says, why are you cursing everybody? Is everyone sick? Not everyone sick. They changed the language to Rofei Kol Basar. The Gemara says, but you're still saying the word Rofei. So the word Rofei doesn't mean only to heal someone who's sick. But like the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Rofecha, doesn't only mean when you're sick Hashem will heal you. It means preventative medicine. I am taking care of you ahead of time that you won't become sick. So Rofei Kol Basar means Hashem is taking care of us, taking care of our health. Umafli La'asot. It's something wondrous, amazing, amazing. Now the peak of what I wanted to get to was this Mafli La'asot and bring it into the bracha of Elokai Neshama. But I respect the clock, and it's a minute to seven, and I want to summarize what we said. So the main thing that I wanted to share, so I'm going to open next time, I'm going to open next week with an Elokai Neshama, and then we'll go from there on to Yom Ram Davin. The main point that we mentioned today is there are two aspects to davening. And the main goal that we're coming is that when you're davening Shmona Esrei, especially, you take three steps back, and then you take the three steps forward. This is true for all of davening, but especially the Shmona Esrei, you're saying, I'm coming into the presence of Hashem. I'm coming to stand before Hashem right now. That's true for all of davening. There's a special level of Amidah Lifnei Hashem. Our goal through this chabura, through this va'ah that we're learning together, is both to learn the commentary, what the words mean, to have a running commentary which like just flows and makes sense and works, not vortach, but just a good read that you can connect to. And I'm going to try and fit that back into what we just said. But even more, greater than that, even if you don't know what all the words mean, even if it's clumsy for you, the translation between the words galui and yadua, and you don't know exactly the difference between the word yatsar and bara, and you just say, Hashem's good, I love you Hashem. You don't even have anything more specific than like, I love you Hashem. Or, but you will find that through time. But at least to have the awareness that I'm coming to stand before Hashem. And like the three-way mashal that we gave, it's not an act, it's authentic. And where are you coming into the relationship? Where's your vulnerable place that you're coming to talk to Hashem, your authentic place? That's the main message I wanted to give of the two kavanos of davening. Number one, that it's an authentic relationship. And it's going to transform davening. It's going to make davening something which you look forward to. You wait for the opportunity, like you wait to come home and share with your wife about like how your day was. You're going to look forward to coming to Shmona Esrei or davening and discuss with the Kadosh Baruch Hu how your relationship with him is good. You're going to look forward to it. And no davening will be the same because you've had life experiences. And now you've got a new discussion you want to have with Hashem. And the main message that we had in the text was that the neshama comes down. We're going to speak about this more when we get to the bracha of Elokai Neshama. You begin the day with a sense of mission. Your neshama has come down into the world. And you're declaring to Hashem, I wish to raise myself up like a kohen and devote myself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore I'm saying the word kiddushanu. I want to be holy, Hashem, and I'm taking in the Netilat Yadayim to raise myself up. Help me, Hashem, that everything I do today is going to be in line with your will. That's the bracha of Alter Tadayim. Help me that everything I do today, in yeshiva, it's learning, maybe post yeshiva, it's your business, you're going to be honest and authentic and be true in your business. Help me, Hashem, that everything I do, all my activity today is going to be in line with your will. It's not going to be Tameh, it's going to be Kodesh. That's the first bracha. Then you go from there to a deep recognition that Akash Baruch, I'm only able to function because you're giving me the strength to. And I know what it's like because I've had times where I wasn't able to function. And I'm aware that all of my functioning, Hashem, I want to dedicate to you. And therefore, while thanking Hashem for your physical body functioning, you're also remembering that you want to dedicate it to Hashem. There's the kavim la kavim chalolim chalolim, that I want my body to be physically healthy, but I want it so that I can devote myself spiritually, Hashem. And it's galui v'yadua. I know Hashem, my body is healthy physically, but I want to be able to be lifnei kiseik v'adech, that I'm using all this physical health that I have to stand before you. And it's l'hitkayem v'l'amod l'fanech. It's Hashem, I want to exist like I am, but I also want to be using my existence to be able to be l'amod l'fanech, to be standing before you, Hashem. So you've seen those first brachas in a very authentic way. A ones where you can open the day with dedicating yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the body up to a physical way. Be'ez Hashem Yis Barach, we'll continue to protect the neshama in our time next time. Shakar.